Bo is ready to sing along. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the morning shift with Mike, Bo, Ellie Mac, and Dylan at 6:24. Yes, we're getting in the spirit for the 4th of July. This time tomorrow, I know I'm going to be lined up on Peachtree at Lenox, ready to run 6.2 miles with 60,000 of my friends. Mike, will your kiddos be waking up early tomorrow?
You know what? My kids are usually decent about sleeping in, and we'll set ourselves up for success. You know, there's a thing when you have a newborn that's pork chops age where they don't necessarily sleep later in the morning if you hold them up later at night. Mm-hmm. Like it kind of throws off their sleep cycle. But my kids have finally gotten to the age where my son's almost 5, my daughter's 3. Like if I keep them up late, they will sleep in a little bit longer.
Okay.
And so my wife and I will set ourselves up for success tonight. And we will probably hold the kids up a little bit later, and they'll be tired. They'll probably be cranky. But you know what? It'll be worth it in the morning at about 8 a.m. when I don't hear little footsteps coming down the hallway. So, yeah, I'm going to try to get some sleep headed into the weekend. And I think a lot of people will probably be attempting to do that as well.
Yeah. So, Bo, will Pork Chop, you know, get the memo that tomorrow is the 4th of July and that you have a chance to sleep in for once?
No. And she also knows that I'm the kind of guy that, like, I wake up at home in my bed, I can't go back to sleep. I don't know why. It's something, there's some kind of thing. And so I just checked. She's stirring, but I don't think she's awake.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's awake, but I don't think she is like up yet. I think she's in that in and out. Mike can tell you that they'll have this like little fussiness, and then you put the passy back in, and then they'll be good for a few minutes.
That's one of the things that I swear, if either of my children had taken a – neither one of them took a pacifier at all, period. Never did. And I swear, if either one of them had, we'd probably have 3 children. But it was like – it was such a nightmare.
You know,
it's like, take the freaking pacifier, please. Please, for the love of God.
You know what's crazy is she only takes one when she's sleeping or when she's about to go to sleep. Like, if she's sitting there, like, up, she'll spit it out and try to chew on her knuckle, which is different. Also, she's – I don't know about y'all or Mike, when y'all had your two were young enough to be in a car seat when you go to a restaurant. She'll sit in the car seat and just look around in a restaurant and hang out and chill.
Mm-hmm.
But when she's at home and she's like saying the bouncy or whatever, and she gets to a certain point, she's like, nah, this ain't it.
Well, there's so much more stimuli around the restaurant, right?
She's
paying attention to like other people, other things, noises going on.
New things to look at.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of.
You know, and they say that's one of the reasons you're not supposed to have like an actual mobile over a crib.
That's like
the in vogue thing. But, you know, evidently like that actually is not a thing in real life because the baby will just sit there and stare at it and not go to sleep.
Wow.
Yeah.
A who? Same. A mobile.
A moble, yeah.
What's that?
It's like one of those little dangly things.
Well, the things, over it goes the crib. Around.
Yeah, I don't know how it's else like to say it other than dangly thing.
And then it has like basically like earrings coming down.
Yeah, think of a crib chandelier.
Crib chandelier.
Well, I know yesterday when the news kept coming out on my phone, kept getting these alerts, I was about to throw a temper tantrum like a child because Braves were up and down, up and down, up and down yesterday. I think the worst headline was about Schwellenbach, and immediately my brain went, Schwell, this sucks, because that's how my brain works. But he has been placed on the IL with a fractured elbow, and this was the worst part, was when I saw that we might not see him until September.
Yeah, and it's, I heard it, I got an hour yesterday, I was like, I'm running to the gym. Because I was on pork chop duty most of the day. And I was like, I'm running to the gym. Because Amy's like, I got you. And I walk in and I turn on literally the Odyssey app. And we had that meeting, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting, a Zoom. And so I was kind of disconnected to everything. And then I walk in and I'm like, I hear Carl and Mike talking about it. And I was just irate.
Yeah.
It helped my workout. I'm not going to lie. But that was when I'm the most optimistic person at this radio station, probably about the Braves. And I just went, well, whatever happens, happens now. I mean, this season, like, whatever we get from this season now, that's the way I felt immediately. And then they go win last night to move within 6.5 of the still struggling Mets and Brewers are not really struggling, but the teams in front of them are struggling in the wild card, right?
Yeah.
And so there's still hope. I mean, that's the thing. You get Sell back in mid-August. Hopefully, you get Schwellie in September. But the problem is, let's be realistic. You gotta. You said it earlier, Mike. You gotta win every game 8-3. I don't know if that's I don't know. That's not something you can hang your hat on.
You got to get elite Aaron Bummer a couple of times a week for, you know, long stretches of games. And I got to tell you, Allie, Grant's Twitter last night, I was in stitches. Like, this guy had me in tears multiple times last night. I cannot wait to talk to him later, because the press release comes out and it's like, the Braves returned Yrjesson Profar from rehabilitation. And then you get next paragraph, Atlanta also returned Daisbell Hernandez from his rehabilitation.
Right.
And then right down at the bottom, they recalled Austin Cox and Spencer Schwellenbach on the 15 injury list, backdated June 29th with a fractured elbow. And Grant's like, I would have opened with the Spencer Schwellenbach news personally, but I'm sitting there reading it going, what does that say?
Right.
What?
Right.
He had a couple yesterday that, I mean, I was in absolute tears. Somebody was like, why don't you go ahead and put him on IR? And Grant was like, because that doesn't exist in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, he's on the IR designated to return.
Yeah, and then he finished up with Profar, the Braves hope to go far.
Yes.
My column. And yeah. I was like, dude, that's okay. He's on a heater. So, yeah, it was an up and down day, to say the least.
Some people get funnier and wittier when bad news comes. Grant is definitely one of those.
100%.
It's like this it's a weird thing, because when you tell me bad news, I just smile at you. And you're like, why are you smiling? Because I got nothing for you.
It's a coping mechanism.
Yeah, I'm not mad. What is there to be mad about? Like, it's just unreal. And that's kind of where I was. I say I was irate, and I was my frustrations got taken out, but it's just like, you're just like unreal. And the worst part for me was hearing that he thinks it's the fact that he upped his velocity. He had an uptick in velocity. And it's like, at what point do we realize, Allie, that uptick in, like, you know, the harder you throw is going to be a detriment to careers?
Yeah.
But you have to throw hard at times to keep hitters off balance. Like, Bryce Elder is a guy that he has to locate to be good because he doesn't throw hard, yet he might be the one guy that we have in our system and our entire organization that might not need Tommy John surgery. Knock on wood, Dylan. Run over there and knock
seriously,
on wood.
Run over there. I mean, it's incredibly frustrating, and he is kind of our guy right now. So we'll see what happens. And we do still have a bit of good news to share about the Braves. We're going to cover that in the front page at 6:40. But right now, let's pivot over to Falcons for a moment, because Greg Cosell was on the Ross Tucker podcast recently, and he was talking about how he loved Kyle Pitts' tape when he was coming out of college. But now he's saying he doesn't quite look inspired when he watches him.
I loved Kyle Pitts' tape coming out. I thought he had everything you'd want as a receiving tight end, and it just hasn't happened. I never really like to say anything about someone's mindset or what's in their head, because we don't really know. The only thing I will say, because this is based on what I see on tape, is when you watch him on tape, all I can say is he looks uninspired. That's all I can say. Beyond that, I don't know what's in his head.
I can honestly say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that exactly everything he just said was what me and Bo have been talking about for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because you don't ever know what's going on with somebody. You don't know what the conversations are like behind closed doors and inside the locker room and with coaches and expectations. You don't ever know how the knee's feeling coming off the ACL or the foot injury or whatever else. But it is very clear, and we have talked about this till we're blue in the face, that when you turn on the tape and actually watch him play, that it doesn't look like he's that worried about it. And that's the frustrating part. And I think Bo and I both have treated this with kid gloves and time again, but you get to a point where you're like, all right, we're, you know, 12 games into the season and you're not even reaching your arms out to try to catch a ball, or it doesn't look like you really care about blocking this guy at the point of attack. I am tired of giving the benefit of the doubt in these situations. Everybody deserves it, but when you turn on the tape for the last couple of years, it's very clear.
I want to talk to a certain group right now, and Mike gets mad at me sometimes when I do this, and that's other times he doesn't. And this is to the Falcons don't use Kyle Pitts right group, okay? Wake up. This is the problem that I have. I love Kyle. I've been a fan of Kyle more than most people in this city, because I watched him at Florida, and I'm a fan of him there. But wake up. How many people need to tell you Greg Cosell is one of the most trusted film guys in the NFL. Everybody goes, and he's very good with his film. Zach Robinson told us last year, like in week four, what's going on with the tight end? We need to see more urgency for him in his routes. We need to see more here. It's constantly being told to us, yet all we ever hear is, they don't use him right. They don't use him right. Well, I don't know how to use him. And like, I know Randy McMichael says it, that he thinks they don't use him necessarily right. And I trust Randy. That guy played that position. So, yes, I trust him. But I'm not sure how they're supposed to use a guy that plays tight end that doesn't block at a high level or any level, really, and that doesn't run his routes with urgency and is very visible on film. And now they know it. So does Michael Penix unlock him? I don't know. I really don't. Maybe the best thing in the world will be a quarterback with a testicular fortitude to force balls in there when he's covered and he has to catch them.
I'll say this, and we can go to break. If a free agency contract year does not unlock him and his urgency, then nothing will, because that's when you got to make it happen.
Well, and feel free to weigh in on this on Twitter at 929 Morning Shift. I also hope our engineer didn't hear you hitting that mic, Bo. But coming up,
I wasn't hitting the mic. What are you talking about?
Jeremiah Smith just signed a major NIL deal. We'll give you the details on that. And we've got my Allie Mac drop. It is Throwback Thursday Trivia Day.
Man.
Yes, right. It is. That's next on Sports Radio 929 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Tattletale.